Welcome to another episode of Disrupt. I'm Bailey Bryant with Home Healthcare News. Before we jump into my conversation with LHC Group's Bruce Greenstein, I want to give a shout out to our podcast sponsor, Homecare Homebase. Their powerful cloud-based home health software streamlines virtually every aspect of your business. Spend less time on paperwork and more time delivering quality care to the patients who need you. Visit hchb.com to learn more. Now back to Greenstein. He's the Executive Vice President and Chief Strategy and Innovation Officer for LHC Group. And as you probably know, the Lafayette, Louisiana-based company is one of the biggest players in the post-acute care space. For some context, LHC Group's 2018 net service revenue came in at more than $1.8 billion. And the company's growing, thanks in large part to its JV strategy. LHC Group boasted nearly 20 acquisition deals in Q1 alone, and Greenstein told me that's only a taste of what's to come. He says the provider is hungrier than ever for more acquisitions and explained their game plan for the future. On top of that, he shared LHC Group's best-kept secret. His words, not mine. Hi, Bruce. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on today. Now let's jump right in. LHC Group has already had a very busy 2019, especially when it comes to JV activity. You announced two partnerships with hospital systems earlier this year, Unity Health in January, and Geisinger soon thereafter. What can we expect for the rest of the year, and how are these joint ventures going?
So, all right, let's take those two questions. First, let me tell you about what I think that Unity and Geisinger means. It's really big. It's not anything different from what we've been doing all along. So for us, it's the way that we go to market, the way that we do business. I think what it tells you is two things in the market, because certainly Geisinger is a very highly respected and innovative brand name in the healthcare world. And so there's two things at play. One is the importance of that reach into the home where large health systems and small health systems want to maintain their brand and bring that brand all the way from their facilities and campus into the home. And they also want to have a best-in-class way of discharging that responsibility of providing care in the home. And so whether it's hospitals that maybe financially aren't performing where they want to be with their own home health, or where their quality and outcomes on the clinical side is not where they want to be. So that's the reason why many hospitals all along have chosen to partner with LHC in their joint venture strategy. The other piece is maybe a little more recent, and that's the development and awareness of caring about the entire continuum of care and focusing on what happens in the post-acute portion of that episode. And for a long time, we've seen hospitals really keep track of how they score on DRGs and what their cost of the admission is. But now we're seeing more large health systems take on risk from payers. And we'll talk, I'm sure, at some point today about the new CMS, CMMI programs. But today we know whether it's Humana or United and others are passing risk down to health systems. And so managing the care and the total cost of care through the post-acute portion of the episode means more today than ever. And that's where having line of sight and the ability to manage that care matters. So many health systems have found that they've not been nearly effective enough. And so that's the other reason why we found that hospitals have had a renewed interest in joint venture partnering with us for those purposes. And I'll just say the importance of Geisinger is such that it's recognized as one of the most innovative and forward-thinking health systems. And so it's their brand and our brand that have come together to think about just what those possibilities are to manage and maintain health in the home for their patients, many of which, I think the plurality of the patients, are managed in a capitated payment environment. And so they have a real reason to think about how to have pre-acute care or manage their post-acute much further than just a 30 or 60 day window. And so we think far more than readmissions, but really to manage those patients and their comorbidities into the home and staying in the home with them for a while. And we're really excited about building out new and innovative programs with them. The second part is about the pipeline, really. And I can't talk about the details, but I can say the pipeline is very busy. And I think we'll have some aha moments for people that'll be watching. We're very excited about continuing to partner across all of the three major lines of business, being home health, hospice, and on the Medicaid side, doing home and community-based services. And we have a strategy of co-location, which allows us to be able to provide those different types of care, all from many of our same over 780 locations around the country today. So keep watching our website for news releases, and we'll be announcing more activity on that M&A and JV front as the year goes by.
We'll definitely keep an eye on it. You touched a little bit on the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid's recent announcement to roll out this primary cares initiative. Basically, it's a new voluntary risk-based initiative designed to reward physicians for keeping patients at home and away from hospitals. This is obviously a huge step toward value-based care in the U.S. healthcare system. What do you think it means for home-based care providers?
Yes, I think this is, it should be at least, one of the most exciting announcements from CMS in a while. There are two pieces to me that I've taken notice, and it's important to think about this. The chief architect of these plans is the director of CMMI, a guy called Adam Bowler, has had a successful career in the private sector, but the most notably in founding the company called Landmark Health. And one thing he recognized, and I worked with Adam at Landmark about 4 or 5 years ago, he was really interested in finding what the patient behavior looks like when the patients become more and more complex and how they access care. And what he found was that patients stop using the more efficient and appropriate ways of getting care, that is their primary care physician and outpatient facilities, and ended up using hospitals because a variety of other supports had fallen away. And so his model really brought specialty care and primary care into the home and built a model that was saving a tremendous amount of money to large payers. So that philosophy pervades the two major announcements that we see here, primary care first and direct contracting. So we have two models, and there are five different payment models within those. And I think the piece that matters is this. One is it introduces in a new way what seems like an attractive level of risk for primary care physicians. So if you read deep into the announcements, you get a large portion of the savings when you create savings. And if you end up spending more money, you're only responsible for 10% of the losses. So the downside is minimal compared to 50% of the upside. So I think financial alignment is tilted in the direction of the primary care physician. The second piece is it really allows the physician to be the quarterback on the field and calling the plays, rather than there, if you remember the old days, maybe in the 90s, we had these primary care case management models and gatekeeper models, which made the primary care physician basically the one that did utilization management on their patients. And that was not a comfortable position for primary care physicians, and it wasn't what they went to med school for. So now we see them on the field calling the plays, putting together the care plan and watching their patients go through the healthcare system in the right way, waiting where their patients ought to go in terms of getting the highest quality of care at the best efficient costs, rather than having it forced upon them. Why does that matter for us in the home care industry? We know if you look at national healthcare expenditures and if you look at claim lines for individuals, where the highest amount of spending occurs. And we know they're in institutions, and they typically are in hospitals, and overwhelmingly hospitalizations are appropriate, but there's still a lot of institutional uses of care that are inappropriate. We would say that unnecessary rehospitalizations, that would be an unnecessary cost. We might say that when patients can, in a post-acute, environment can be discharged to their home rather than a skilled nursing facility. That's another area that actually could be appropriate, but unnecessary, where there could be savings made. So in terms of the whole continuity, the whole patient journey of care, the area within the post-acute portion of it is incredibly highly variable and is in desperate need of organization that will create better clinical outcomes and, I think, substantial savings. That's where us as an industry comes in. We need the vision. We need to have some way for primary care physicians and their practices to consume this enlightened way of using post-acute services. And then we have to come up with enhanced models so that we'd be able to share in the savings that will be created for the primary care physicians and primary care first. And with that, I think we'll build that financial alignment. We'll create the organizational alignment, and we might be able to offer additional services and benefits in the form of maybe telemedicine, telemonitoring, more disease management within the episodes. And we might even see longer episodes to keep patients from going into the hospital after they get discharged from a traditional episode. So it's time to start thinking about ways that we would re-engineer post-acute care. And as the leaders in home health, I think we need to get together and really map out what that looks like and present the vision instead of having it presented to us.
Interesting. Going back to LHC Group's JV strategy with hospital systems, earlier this year, CEO Keith Meyer said that you guys are more bullish on this strategy than ever because you're continuously improving the process. Talk about what goes into that and how that's working.
Yes, let's talk about it in two ways. And the backdrop is this. We read in the pages of your publication and others, we read about the consolidation happening in healthcare. Now, I've written in several places about this phenomena, but I couple it with the decentralization of risk. And that's an important function to consider as we go through this next answer to the next question. And that is, as I mentioned before, large health systems and some IPAs or large physician groups are taking full cap risk from large payers, whether it's in the Medicare Advantage or in the commercial side. That's changing the way that they look at their connection into the home and their reach through post-acute care and the way that they're going to manage care from a cost perspective outside of the hospital. And that's where we come in. So that's the backdrop. The reason why Keith Myers feels so bullish about it is we have a now demonstrated track record. We've had, you know, 2 decades of figuring out how best to provide care and services to our hospital partners in a way that's mutually advantageous. And so if you think about from the patient journey, when we do our joint ventures, we often will be partnering with the hospital and having our employees involved with care planning and where the patients that are electing to go with the home health agency, how they make their trip home. And so in some cases, the speed to care can reduce a day from the length of stay for the hospital, which equates to savings on a DRG side. Having capabilities in the home so quickly could maybe have a family have that option of going home instead of going to a SNF just because of the time of care. And maybe without rapid deployment of care services, that going home instead of the SNF wasn't an option before. So we've published widely in our relationship with Ochsner a 58% reduction of the utilization of SNF. And that's a large amount of savings when a good portion of those patients are part of a full cap risk population. Many other hospitals are just now recognizing that they have rehospitalization problems that can be solved in the home, that they have an overutilization of SNF, both length of stay and also proportion of the post-acute care patients that go to the SNF problem, and they can address that with really strategic and properly used home health. And so those areas that we've gotten better, the value proposition has increased. Now, that all rests on top of the basic foundation, you know, where 5 stars in overwhelmingly, you know, almost all of our home health agencies. So we have the highest quality in the nation. We look at our readmission rates. There are a number of core measures that we look at that make our performance look so great. And that is typically compared to what the health system's own home health agency looks like. And that's where they want to make a best in class decision. And it often means looking to partner with a specialist in home health. And that's where we get into the conversation.
One of the biggest deals you guys made last year was with Almost Family, which previously you guys had said is about 6 months ahead of schedule and on track to be finished up by Q3 of 2019. Where are you guys in that process now? And is that projection still on track?
Yeah, we are right on track, if not running ahead of schedule. We just celebrated the 1 year, the first anniversary of bringing the two companies together. We have two home offices now, which give us many advantages, which we can get into shortly. But the reason why we've been ahead of schedule is just a maniacal and driven the way of execution. Whether it has to do with IT back office or integration of our clinical systems, harmonizing around training and quality. We have the specialists in those areas and we brought in the best people. It didn't matter which company they were from to start with. We all work together as one company today and driving towards these outcomes. We brought in a highly regarded consulting firm to quarterback our integration efforts. That's kept us on track, which we've always been aggressive with our timeframes. And so far, that's worked out to our advantage from a cost perspective, as well as from a performance perspective. And I think creating the muscle, we've had, many, many acquisitions before. So this wasn't anything brand new. It was to the size, but this has just built up the muscle that we've had before to an even greater extent. And you can see us using that muscle for all of our acquisitions in the future.
Let's talk about that backup headquarters that you mentioned. Why was creating a second location important to you guys?
Yeah, well, if you think about where we are, where our company was founded and where we operate from today, it's Lafayette, Louisiana. Beautiful city full of the best, people, culture, music, and food you can imagine, but also one that seems to be a magnet for storms coming off the Gulf and hurricanes. So the idea of doing what we do that's mission critical, the most important thing, obviously, is having our nurses go out with the highest quality visiting patients in their home. We support them, and we do that through whether it's clinical systems, IT systems, rev cycle management, and having the ability to operate even if there was a storm or a massive cyber attack or anything that could impact any corporate or government environment around the world, having the ability to have our both leaders and systems be up and running in parallel was really important to us. So while we had a great group of people that were managing systems there, we load balanced what we do today, and it's not 100% just a duplication or a rollover. We have many teams that are there doing the company's basic functions today out of that office. And now we have space and duplication on the IT side so we can run the company from Louisville if we had to move out of our current location for a storm or any other reason.
So it fits really nicely into your disaster plan. I know that's something that CMS requires agencies to have.
Absolutely. It is a massive advantage for us to have two large, sophisticated home offices, which operate, with high levels of productivity today. Again, we don't just have people that are sitting around waiting for a storm there. Instead, we're running large portions of our company from Louisville, and the ability to have space and IT support to move personnel there quickly and be able to run the company seamlessly to us is a big advantage. And it's also for, for our leadership, for our board, for our JV partners, for our patients, it should make people rest a little bit easier that we're not going to get disrupted from a storm alone.
Another benefit from that merger was a lot of ACO involvement. You guys really ramped that up in 2018. I know that not everyone knows this, but you guys actually acquired an ACO management company as part of the deal. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you're right. It's one of the best kept secrets around. So part of the Almost Family umbrella included Imperium, the ACO management company. And since the acquisition, we've made large increases in both the investment as well as the total number of Medicare patients covered. So we're at about 460,000 attributed lives across 30 different ACOs. And this means that we have stretched from the East Coast all the way fairly far across the country in terms of the geographic map. And the piece to me that is really important is it gives us both insight and experience into managing risk, being deep inside physician practices and employed physician practices, both independent and part of health systems. We understand Medicare claims data in a deep way. And, you know, while all of us might look first and foremost at trying to figure out, you know, what's going on in the home health side, what's going on in post-acute, for our ACO management, we really are paying attention to what's happening across the entire patient journey, the entire claims line history. We're interested in working with physicians to figure out how we help them manage a large patient population, how we focus on those that have extraordinary high costs and those that have very little cost but need to have preventive care on an ongoing basis, whether it's flu shots or other diagnostic tests. So we get to build our acumen in areas that we typically don't participate in as a company, and it's given us great insights in what drives costs, how to use claims data as predictive modeling, to build algorithms, to identify patients where we can provide more care in the home to lower the overall cost of care for their entire, you know, patient journey. And that's really made us more effective as a company, because part of what we're doing both within the ACOs and what we're doing with our JV partners is essentially creating high-performing networks of post-acute care providers. And, you know, we do that with our LTACs and SNFs along with what we do in home health. And the idea is to be able to make it easy and one-stop shopping for primary care clinics and health systems to be able to have post-acute partners to refer their patients, get high quality clinical outcomes, and manage costs appropriately. And we're very bullish on that for the future.
I'm sure a lot of agencies listening to this are jealous. A lot of providers want to be involved in ACOs. What advice would you have for home-based care providers hoping to get a piece of the pie?
I'm glad, and I hope others pay attention to this and really think about it in the context of their own market and environment. This is one of those areas where I feel like, you know, we're always competitive. We're always trying to, you know, win more market share by having the best quality product. But I also feel like this is where I want to work with my colleagues from other companies to make the value proposition to ACOs and other risk-oriented payment arrangements to just show the value of home health as a way to manage the total cost of care for patients, to give patients higher satisfaction because they rather be at home where they're more comfortable, the risks are lower, the food is better, and they have a much better chance of recovering and restoring their health or managing, you know, the maladies that they do have. And so to answer your question, I think that what needs to be done is to use the publicly available data to create the value proposition, to quantify your offer to the ACOs, and to be a partner in being able to take patients, to do it with the highest of quality, the fastest speed of care delivery, and to be able to monitor and manage the performance of home health so that overall cost of care can be something that is quantified and manage throughout that process. And the idea is that we want ACOs to think about having home health be the answer and something that you can substitute for more SNF visits or the length of stay in a SNF or readmissions. I'll just give you a quick review of the 2016 Medicare claims data for fee-for-service. Under the ACO program, we saw a similar decrease in spending in home health as SNF, which leads me to believe that instead of ACOs looking at home health as the advantage to use more home health to reduce much larger portions of spending in the SNF, both by shortening the length of stay and having fewer patients go to the SNF that can be appropriately taken care of in the home, that hasn't been happening very much. And I think that us as a home health industry, we have to make our value proposition far more clear and compelling, and we have to work with ACOs to be able to use us to help them save more money.
On a personal note, you're kind of a newbie at LHC Group. You've been there for almost a year now, I think.
Almost.
Before that, almost anniversary coming up. You were at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services before that, and you have done, you've kind of run the gamut when it comes to the healthcare industry. Tell me about your background and how it fits into your role at LHC Group.
Yeah, so I kind of think about the four quadrants of work that I've done. Large corporations, ran Microsoft's worldwide health and human services business for years, but I've also worked in private equity and startup companies that are, you know, really trying to solve some of the most recalcitrant problems in our healthcare system. And it gives you dramatically different views on how private sector works in addressing healthcare problems. On the public side, I've done three stints through HHS, two at CMS, and one for the secretary at HHS as the most recent chief technology officer. But I ran Medicaid managed care and waivers and demonstrations, and I ran the Boston regional office, the six New England states, for some time as well. And then in my state side, I ran aging programs and managed care programs in Florida for the elderly. And then more recently, I was the Secretary of Health in Louisiana. So first thing that I would say is for everyone else out there, doing public services is among the most fulfilling professional experiences that you could have. It's complicated, it's frustrating, but it really allows you to scale the solutions for healthcare over such a broad number of people in the country, whether it's for everyone in Medicare and Medicaid, or it could be public health programs in a county. But I think if everybody just thought about trying to do maybe just 2 years of public service job in healthcare over at some point in their career, they would have a better appreciation of the difficulties of running public healthcare programs. They would understand what bureaucracy means and how complicated it is and how hard people in government are trying to solve problems. And then I think for me in home health, what's nice is that it's still an industry that operates to a great degree on an old fee-for-service model. And today we talk about value-based care so much, but very little of what we do is really organized in a value-based way. So I get a chance to come in being very kind of anxious to be moving our company in the industry in this direction. But, as and you've learned, our company is very thoughtful and deliberative about the way we make moves. So I have this extra high burden of demonstrating and proforming out what all of our program moves will look like, how we approach payers, how we work with large health systems to make our move from volume to value. I think it's inevitable. It's going to happen to our entire industry. My goal here is to make this company the most well-prepared company in the country to be leading the way in value with our partners, be it a payer or a provider, in providing them the best vision and the best way of organizing our offerings to make both clinical as well as financial sense there. Now, I'll just say one other thing. I also feel like the time that I've spent in private equity and in startups have just showed me the direction that the country is moving. And you can look at companies like whether it's CVS and Walgreens, Could be Best Buy buying a company called Great Call. Could be you're seeing moves moves today from Comcast to move into healthcare into the home. Our goal at LHC is to own the home. We feel like we are the nation's leader in connection to the patient in their home. We understand the home. We have one of the largest platforms that orchestrates bringing personnel, both skilled and unskilled, into the home to accomplish tasks at a very high level of quality and achieving a certain outcome. We know that that's used today primarily for something that we've grown to know as home health, mostly dictated from the Medicare program. And that can be used to do myriad other services to keep people healthy and safe in their home. This is just the beginning for what we see that we can use our platform to do in the future. And so to me, that idea of owning the home and having relationships with may not be just healthcare companies. We'll start with healthcare companies for sure. But you can see the cost of healthcare and the direction of the provision of care. It's more and more moving to the home, and we want to own that platform.
Okay, Bruce, final question. This podcast is called Disrupt. How do you define disruption in the space, and where does LHC Group fit in?
Yeah, so the term disrupt is probably one of the most overused terms in business and healthcare. Somehow we think that if we can use an iPad to do a doctor visit, we're creating disruption. So let me be a little more dialed back on the way that I think about disruption. I think disruption has to be providing a service in a different way and getting compensated for it. So it has to work. It has to do something. When we think about home health, let's take it back. When we think about telemedicine, we've had the capabilities of doing telemedicine for probably 2 decades, but there have been very few willing to pay for it. So really, the biggest disruption we can do is use existing technology, but get paid in a creative way that really creates value. So when we think about home health, we have been providing home health in the way that Medicare has organized the visits and the episodes for quite some time. We happen to do it very, very well. Our goal is to see people in their home recover from illness, to restore their health, to keep them safe, and prevent them from having a deterioration of health in the future. So the idea is by using people and technology in the home and being compensated for it in a way that creates value for those responsible for the overall cost of healthcare, for those both patients and families that want to stay in their home and be happier and healthier there, and for companies like LHC, and there will be others that also want to be in the home and create those really very customer-centric experiences that offer people the ability to be dizzy with delight with the care and services they're getting in their home, rather than the amount of friction that exists by going through our healthcare system to get what it is that they need.
Very interesting. Thank you, Bruce, so much for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Disrupt. For more news and insights on the home health, home care, and hospice industries, subscribe to our daily and weekly newsletters. You can do that at homehealthcarenews.com. I'm Bailey Bryant, and this has been a production of Aging Media Network out of Chicago, Illinois.